Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been discussing the subject of scriptural marriage and family life. And I personally believe that this is one of the most important subjects we can discuss in this day, apart from a subject of the study of the Word of God itself. In other words, these principles, in fact, that we're discussing are taken directly from the Word of God. And I believe this is all part of the Word of God, even though it might seem to be another subject to many of you. But this subject is especially important in our society because it affects even born-again Christians. Sometimes when Christians fail in their marriages, they don't understand why. And the reason is they did not take the proper steps to preserve those marriages and to make those marriages what God wanted them to be. And so in this long series of messages, we've been discussing the importance of scriptural marriages and families. I want to read from a passage of Scripture which has to do with husbands and wives and also with parents and children. I'm reading now from Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to begin with verse 25. We understand that verses 22, 23, and 24 refer to the wife, and the wife is to be subject to her own husband, but this is what God has to say about the husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men also to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ the church. And then from chapter 6 of Ephesians, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live as long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now this passage of Scripture is one of the key passages in the New Testament dealing with father-son relationships with his children and with parents and their children. We also find in Deuteronomy chapter 4, chapter 6, and chapter 11 some very strong teaching on family and home life with children and with husbands and wives together. And I want to talk today about the problem of raising children in the professional and the pastoral setting. I don't want to offend any of you who may be professionals or any of you who may be pastors. But as a pastor myself, I recognize the problems of having good family life in the midst of the press of many responsibilities. And so professionals and pastors especially have this problem of how to raise children in the fear of the Lord, how to have good relationships with their wives, how to have a good home and a good family, which is a testimony to the outside world, and of course to their own family, a testimony of God's working and of God's grace. Now I want to emphasize, of course, that when we talk to professionals and pastors, we're assuming they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I think this is a safe assumption for most of you who are listening to this program, that you are saved from your sins. You know the Lord Jesus is your only means of salvation. You have come to him by faith. You have trusted him as your Lord and Savior. And so we're beginning with this premise, that when we're talking to professionals and pastors, we're speaking of those who are in right relationship with the Lord themselves. Now, first of all, what are some of the problems that professionals and pastors face in their work? Assuming now that they're dedicated Christians, they really want to follow the Lord, they really want their homes to be everything that God wants them to be. Let's take pastors, for instance. Many churches demand of their pastor a standard of dedication to the work of the church, which their deacons and members themselves would not tolerate or comply with if that standard were applied to their own lives. In other words, the pastors face a very demanding schedule. He's the administrator of the church. He's a man who's expected to preach 2, 3, 4 times a week to the members of the church. This requires hours and hours of preparation. And so the pastor is under special strain as he faces the work of God. His people are expecting a very, very high standard of him. And in fact, in some churches, the people are so demanding that if the pastor spent too much time in home responsibilities, this would be seen as a neglect of the work. I love this phrase, the work. It's usually used in quotation marks. I love this phrase because the work to some people is everything. That is, the work outside the home is everything to some people. But in the eyes of God, the home is part of the work, and you cannot separate the work of the home from the work of the ministry. I'm speaking now especially to pastors. You cannot separate these two. And when you do, you are neglecting an important section, and in fact many important sections in the Word of God itself, when you try to separate one from the other. So when God looks at the work of a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at this passage a little bit later, he says, if a man cannot manage his own home, how can he manage the work of God? In other words, God himself does not separate the home from the work of the church. It is part of the testimony, part of the influence of the church, that the pastor's own life, his home life, his personal life, everything about him would bear testimony to the presence of the Lord Jesus in his life. And what I want to emphasize is this, that the loss of testimony to the church and the community, which comes as a result of the pastor neglecting his home, is greater than any good which might come from the enforced extra time the pastor is expected to devote to his work. I remember back in the United States, I knew a pastor who was very demanding of himself and of his staff. When a person would come to work for him, as a youth pastor, for instance, this pastor would demand that this person be willing to spend evenings at the church, devoting himself to the work of visitation, of study, of various ministries of the church. And this meant that a married youth pastor coming to the church would never have dinner with his own family, because the pastor of the church was demanding that he stay there even until 8 o'clock at night. In other words, if you're dedicated, the pastor would say, if you're dedicated, then you're going to stay here and do the work of God. And if you're not dedicated, I don't want you to be on my staff. And so many of the workers would not work with this pastor. They simply would give up after a year, for instance. They would simply say, I've been sacrificing my family, and I'm not going to do this anymore. Even as a missionary, and I'm speaking of as a pastor and a missionary, because over a period of 53 years, I've been serving the Lord in missions. But as a missionary, I recognize that many missionary organizations are very strict about how much time the missionary can spend with his family. In other words, it's a negative type of thing. And I want to speak very respectfully of missionary organizations. I respect them. But at the same time, I disagree sometimes with their policies. It is common for some of these missionary organizations, especially in Africa and in China, to have a very strict policy that at the age of 6, every child is to be sent away to a missionary school, sometimes hundreds of miles away. I went to school with some of these in the late 40s and the early 50s. How bitter they were at their parents for sending them away as a very young child. They hardly would see their parents in a year's time. Time would go by. Sometimes in China, for instance, there would be snow on the mountains. They could not cross the mountains to see their children. And the children, of course, could not come over to see them. And so sometimes for an entire year, the children would not even see their parents because the parents were so devoted to the work. Now, I respect these parents. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is there must have been a better way to do this. And in these countries where this policy has been in force, and most missions don't do this anymore, but it used to be a very common policy. And in most countries where these policies were in force, various excuses were used to justify this. For instance, the missionaries may have been working in a very primitive area, an area where there was some danger for the children, maybe danger from the people they were working with, or danger from some of the diseases of that area. And, of course, we appreciate this. In many areas, there was malaria, there were other diseases, and these were rampant. And so many missions use the excuse, well, it's not safe for your children to be there. And then, of course, another excuse was, what schooling facilities do you have in that area? And can you train your children properly if you keep them at home? We have a good missionary school, maybe hundreds of miles away, it might have been, but we have a good missionary school, and you can train your children in our school. And so there were various excuses used. And of course, sometimes it was just that the missionaries themselves would have to admit, I'm too busy to raise my children. I'm either going to have to sacrifice the work of a missionary, or I'm going to have to send my children away. And so many times they would use this excuse, I'm simply too busy. And God has called me to be a missionary. And if I'm going to be a missionary, I have to dedicate myself to the work of a missionary. Now, even though there are excuses, the real reason, of course, is the work has to come first. In other words, the work comes before anything else. Now, I appreciate the dedication of missionaries who followed these policies and the dedication of the mission agencies who sent them out. I have watched these missionaries. They are truly spiritual, dedicated people. But I believe in many cases they were misguided, because they neglected home and family in favor of outside responsibilities. And some of the alternatives which were available, homeschooling or small teaching situations for several missionary families, these were simply never used. They were never even thought of because of the policy of this. And then, of course, many of these missionaries felt the pressure of the supporting churches. Sometimes the supporting churches are not too understanding concerning the life of the missionary, concerning the problems he faces. And they assume that the missionary is going to 100% devote himself to the work on the mission field. Now, their own pastor would not be able to accept this. In other words, the pastor himself would not be under such constraint. But when we send money to send out a missionary, many of these missions-minded churches would say, when we send money to send out a missionary, we expect him to be 100% for Jesus. I love that phrase, 100% for Jesus. And so this means that we expect the missionary to be working night and day in the work of the Lord and produce some results that would justify our sending money to him. And then, of course, many Christian workers themselves do not have a clear picture of what the work of God really entails. When they entered into the marriage relationship, for instance, they may be ignorant of the full biblical picture of the husband-wife relationship and the parent-child relationship. In other words, many have simply never been taught on this subject. Many Bible schools never deal with this. They don't even have courses in marriage and the family. And so they don't deal with the subject and the importance of the family and the life of a worker for God. And then, of course, the work of fully meeting the needs of a wife and raising children in the fear of the Lord is demanding. And sometimes people would prefer outside responsibilities to the demands that God lays before them in what home responsibility is all about. And then, of course, some are not really ready or willing to make the personal sacrifices. And I want to say, as a father, and now as a grandfather, there are many, many sacrifices which are demanded. I can remember how God had to speak to my own heart when I was a head of the seminary in Manila, and then also when I was a head of the Bible school and we went to Hong Kong to work among the Chinese. And I can remember how God had to lay upon my heart that having a family was a sacrifice. God had given us 4 wonderful, lovely children, and these were my responsibility. But he was going to demand much from me if these children were going to be raised in the fear of the Lord. My wife and I had to sacrifice. And some people simply are not willing to make such sacrifices. They find outside work so much easier. Even professionals sometimes feel this way. In other words, I am busy in my job. I don't have time for the family. I don't have time to do everything that God might expect me to do. I'm either going to have to give up my job, or else I'm going to have to make sacrifices for the family. And I think it's more important, some people might say, that I support the family than that I do some of these other things. And then sometimes, to be fair, Some of these fields are very, very isolated. I'm speaking now again of missionaries. Some of these fields are extremely isolated. And the isolation itself creates the kind of problems where the children have no playmates to play with. There may be three or four children in a family, but they have no playmates. They have no companions. They don't grow up in a normal situation. So I understand some of the reasons. I'm simply saying that these people are going to have to face the responsibility of being parents. And I want to talk about this also in the next message, but they're going to have to face the responsibility of being parents. There will always be excuses for professionals, for pastors, for missionaries, and others in full-time work, where the work demands are very heavy. There will always be excuses why people cannot do what God wants them to do. The same thing is true, of course, in our own walk with the Lord. People say, well, I'm so busy. I get up early in the morning. I go to work. I have to support my family. I may have two or three jobs I have to do. And how can I spend time in reading God's Word and in prayer and so forth? We're going to have to determine what our priorities are. And this is going to be true in raising children, whether we're professionals or pastors or whoever we are. We're going to have to determine what the priorities must be. And these priorities are taken from the Word of God. If we're not willing to face God's Word and to take in our own lives the priorities that God has set, then we're going to fail as Christians, and our testimony and our lives are also going to fail. Now, it's my prayer, as we come more deeply into this subject, that each of you will seriously consider, what home responsibilities are you neglecting? What failures might there be in your own home responsibilities and in the value of your home before your own children, before your wife, and before others? In other words, where are you failing? And what does God want you to do to correct these failures? The most important thing is to please God rather than just pleasing man. And so this may require some hard decisions, but they're decisions you must make. So my prayer is that as we discuss this subject again in another message, that you will determine before God, I will put God first, I will put the commands of His Word first, and with God's help, God will help me to go ahead and do what I ought to do. May the Lord bless you, each one.